Morning, Brother Ron. Someone was saying something about Tulon.
Yes, yes, this Brother Knox. Have you seen Miss Tulon?
Yes, I have, and I talked to her. Yeah, good. I've talked to her and seen her, yeah.
Great, great. She's doing okay?
She's doing well.
Good morning, my brothers, and Merry Christmas to each of you, to all of our brothers and their families. Thank you for joining us on this blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad. What a joy it is to welcome each of you to our corporate and collective prayer cycle on this glorious day, traditionally called Christmas here in America. Thank God for allowing us to see the 360th day of this year, in the last few days of 2018. And to have the joyful noise of each of you as you have joined the prayer call gives me a great delight. Thank you for being a part of what we started 4 years ago, March of 2015, and has continued with increasing enthusiasm and with great numbers. We thank you for being a part of this fraternity and the fraternity family as we come together each day to fortify our faith in the Father who formed us and framed us and fixed us even when we were flawed and forgave us when we were at fault. Thank God for each of you. It's my privilege, delight now to welcome to the phone Grand Basilist number 40, my brother Tony Knox, who joins us each day and gives us important information and some challenging inspiration and encouragement. Thank you so much, Dr. Knox, for joining us again on the call. God bless you.
Thank you. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all, to all the brothers and all the families. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a thank you. Thank you for all that you've done over the year, all that you've done to help make Omega better, and for all the families, all the support that you've given us in everything that we've done. We must be thankful today and show God our thanks for the greatest gift of them all, His Son Jesus. And as we go into celebrating this Christmas season and understanding the reason for it, today is the time that we must especially show love to the family and show love to mankind, which we do each and every day when we get up and come together and pray. Brothers, I thank you for what you've done throughout the year, and I thank you for what you'll continue to do, the difference that you'll make within our fraternity and the difference that you make within our community and within our country. And again, I thank you and I love you all for the difference that you've made in Omega, our community and country. Thank you, Reverend Doctor, for the opportunity.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Knox. It's always good to hear you, and I hear in the background the voice of our former Grand Chaplain, Dr. Staccato Powell, who began this effort 4 years ago, and we praise God for his presence on the call. I'm appreciative to Brother Derek Lott, who's the chaplain for the 9th B, for yielding this time so that I might bring the message today on this special day. And I'm thankful for each of you being on the call this morning. I'm always excited to reread the story of Christmas from the Gospel of Luke. It's the recording of the first Christmas, the first day that we call, traditionally call it Christmas. I read today just a verse or two from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, which says around verse 8, there were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master." I take these few words from Luke's narrative to talk about good news in bad times. Good news in bad times. I'm a little older than most of you on the call. I'm in my 70s. I grew up not on the internet, but reading newspapers. My daddy subscribed to several newspapers when we were coming up. And for many of those newspapers, they had what we call in my neighborhood, the projects, we call them the funny papers. More politically correct, the comic strips. There were favorites. I had favorites. I had my favorites. Blundy and Dagwood, Beetle Bailey, Dick Tracy, and Dennis the Menace were some of my favorites. But I had another funny paper character that was very dear to me. I could relate to him. His name was Little Abner. He was tall and strong and wore bib overalls. And Little Abner had a friend called Joe. Joe was jinxed. He was so jinxed that he had a dark cloud over his head. Everywhere Joe showed up in the comic strip, he had a cloud over his head. Everywhere he went, he was a magnet for mess and misery. Joe always seemed to be a misfit and a mismatch, mad, miserable, and moody. And whatever situation came along, he was depressed with every moment. Also affected by the cloud, Joe was a magnet for misery. Well, I declare today that Joe's story is not our story. I think that we are magnets for miracles. I learned from that cartoon that our attitudes and actions get adjusted to accommodate whatever we're exposed to. And so if you expect bad news, you will get bad news. If you expect to be down, you will be down. And I know that this year has been a tough year for those of us that love the Lord, those of us that are members of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity. We've heard some terrible news this year. It's hard to try to save money and cut corners and make ends meet. It's been a rough year. And now almost suddenly attitudes and activities have been changing. What we now know in the black community as spirit of giving, as spirit of unity, spirit of family, spirit of friends, spirit of Christmas, has now been dimmed by so much negativity around us. All people, places, positions participate in this bad news. All cultures, conditions, and colors collaborate on this dismal news that we've heard this year. Which you know, brought me back to a point where I needed to focus on Christmas again and the characters of Christmas. There's a mother of Jesus, a wonderful character. His earthly father, Joseph, the people in the inn, Herod and the politicians, the nameless, the almost mentionless in scriptures, the angels, and then there are the shepherds, these shepherds. Robert Lee Rowe, a wonderful Bible commentator, a surveyor, sent out many years ago a questionnaire to people, ask them of all the characters in the Bible, which one related to Christmas do you identify with? The wise men, or Joseph, or Mary, or who do you identify with? And most of the people responded they could identify with the shepherds. The majority of the people that responded to Robert Lee Rowe's questionnaire said they identify with the shepherds. And so my brothers and family, I picked up a few things that I think relate us to and help us to identify with these shepherds. First of all, they were working. They were working people. We can easily identify with shepherds. They were workers. Many of them involved in doing shepherd's work, which was not the most ideal job to have, but they were at least working. Landscapers, plumbers, electricians, construction workers, domestics and others, police officers, teachers, those who are on the main roads of life. They worked. They weren't privileged to go through life without working. This was a working group. And we have many people who are on this line and related to people who are on this line who are working. And we're working because life has not afforded us the opportunity to inherit enough money so that we can live on our inheritance. We are working people. Many of us parked in poverty pockets and gathered in ghettos. Many of us could be considered second-class citizens. Maybe we belong to an auxiliary of humanity, which Howard Thurman describes as the disinherited, those that stand in history with their backs against the wall. Many people who are working are still culturally deprived and socially disadvantaged, underfed, underhoused, and underclothed, overworked and underpaid, compelled to do other people's work. move like checkers on a board according to the whims and wishes of the dominant group. We are part of the have-nots standing at the bottom of the social, political, educational, and economic ladder. We belong to the fraternity of the foreclosed, the union of the unemployed, the weary from worrying, the tired of trying, where there is no life, no hope of escaping. Stuck in park, not going in reverse, but not going forward either, just stuck. And just like these shepherds, many of us have similar occupations with similar obligations, and we have committed similar offenses as these shepherds may have done. We have similar opportunities. And there's a commonality to our reality because we're working. We're exposed every day to sin and suffering and sacrifice and strain and stain and stress and struggles and strife and strange strategies and just stuff, shifting seasons and situations. We are part of the working delegation. But not only were these shepherds working, they were watching and waiting. Waiting for something to happen, watching to see if anything would happen with their regard. They were in a waiting disposition, watching. They couldn't always make things happen because they were too busy working, watching and waiting and working. But thank God they were wondering because something beautiful in this text happens. They were approached by some angels. They're approached by some angels with a wonderful, wonderful revelation. The angel says, "Unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you." It was a personal message unto you. It was a powerful message, a Savior. It was profound. Christ the Lord, the Exalted One, is coming. It was a pointed message. It says, to you, you'll get a sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. These working, waiting, and watching, wondering men now move from wondering to witnessing. They leave where they are. They leave their work to go witness this wonderful sight of seeing new life, hallelujah, new joy, new hope through Christ Jesus. They received the news, and then they responded to the news. And now here they are, the first witnesses. No, the wise men were not there. They would not come until 2 or 3 years later because they were not a part of the narrative of Jesus' birth. By the time the wise men come along, Jesus is walking. He's in a house. The Bible says in Matthew, when they were coming to the house, they opened unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That happened sometime later. And so these scenes where we have the wise men and the shepherds at the manger at the same time is a little off. But these men were the first ones to see and to hear the noise that came from that cradle of Jesus, to see Mary and Joseph. They were the witnesses. These working, waiting, and watching, and wondering, working men witness. But then as I almost close, they are worshiping. They worship the sight, a fulfillment of Scripture, a fulfillment of revelation by the angels. They worship the Lord. And brothers, I'm encouraging you today, spend some time with your families and friends worshiping the Lord. He's the center of this day. As a matter of fact, he's the center of all day. We rotate around the Son of God. And then after they worship, they go back to their fields, rejoicing, having received good news, and rejoicing that the good news changed now their life. And as AT&T said a few years ago, they're rethinking possibilities. Yes. And so as we reflect today, when you think about the opportunities you have left slip away, the time you wasted, the mistakes you've made, the days that are going by, people you've hurt, relatives you've disappointed, lies you've told, friends you've used, money you've blown, it ought to force you to have a new high on this Christmas, a new high, a new time to celebrate God, for he is the Prince of Peace. Yes, Isaiah says he's the Prince of Peace. And since I'm quoting from the Bible, allow me to let you know that he is, according to Matthew, the King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the servant. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he is the Son of Man. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he's the power of God unto salvation. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphant one giving victory. In Galatians, he's our liberty. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's our joy. In Colossians, he's our completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our hope. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is our faith and our stability. In Philemon, he's our benefactor. Titus, truth. In Hebrews, our perfection. In James, the power behind our faith. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's our example. 1, 2, and 3 John, he's our pattern for life. In Jude, he's the foundation of our faith. In Revelation, he's the soon-coming king, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, yeah, the ace and the tail, yes, the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He is God. And today, we have good news that he's still in charge. I don't care what happens in the world. He is still in charge. He's God's perfect gift. He's our personal gift. He's our precious gift. He's our pleasing, practical, and permanent gift. And we thank God for Jesus Christ on this day. Thank you, shepherds. Thank you for leading us to the manger and for helping us realize, just like you, that there is hope even in this dismal world. There's good news even in the midst of all the bad things that are happening. Thank you so much. And brothers, that's the best I can do at 6:30 on this Christmas morning. Let us not go to God.
Amen, Brother Graham.
Let us go to God in prayer. Dear gracious God, thank you for another opportunity to recognize you on Christmas. Thank you for bringing family and friends and loved ones together, even on this telephone call this morning, to celebrate you. Dear Lord, don't let us miss you this Christmas. Help us to simplify our activities and traditions so that we focus our celebration on you and your birth. We thank you afresh for being the Prince of Peace. And I ask you that you would allow us to experience supernatural peace that will reign even in our hearts. God, I pray this morning, aware of the fact that Herod is still riding rampant across our land, Lord, help us. Help us. Lord, it is Christmas and Herod is searching for and destroying our children, pillaging our houses and corrupting our minds, poisoning our views and imprisoning and killing our sons and orphaning our daughters, widowing our mothers. God, it seems that Herod's soldiers are everywhere. They're in government. They're on Wall Street. They're in schoolhouses and movie houses. They're all over the place. God, thank you for allowing us to recognize Herod and his soldiers so that we might pray. It's a difficult time in our country, God, and our country's journey seems to be a place where the powerful are revered. Visions of the wise are ignored, and the poor afflicted, and the innocent are still being killed. You have shown us that salvation comes in the vulnerability of a child, while many are still hungering for security of weapons and walls. Teach us that freedom comes in loving service. We thank you so much. Forgive us, O God, when we come to the palace instead of the stable. Forgive us, God, when we turn to politicians more than we turn to the prophets that you've stationed. Renew in us the spirit of Bethlehem, that we may be better prepared for your coming. God, we pray for those who on this day are too sick to eat, too old to remember, too hurt to care. We pray and stand for children blessed by parents who care and for children without parents or anyone else that cares for them. God, we pray and stand for brothers whose spirits have been dimmed and dashed due to distress and dangers and disappointments and disturbances and disease and dysfunction and even death. We pray and stand for young people high on play and steady and laughter. And we pray also for young people who are high on drugs and cocaine and ecstasy. Oh, God, we pray and stand for victorious families paused by circumstances to soar and conquer life's challenges. And we pray for those families who are bogged down by the pain of survival. Oh, God, how we thank you for the chapters and districts and international brothers and the Supreme Council of this, our Omega Psi Phi fraternity. We pray for our relatives that are on the phone and for those who are attached to us biologically. Though we are strong as a fraternity, make us even more reliable and relevant. Grant to us the courage of our convictions And God, as I always pray, keep us from the insanity of becoming that which we oppose. Disturb us, God, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dream too little, when we arrive safely because we sail too closely to the shore. God, we lift up our brothers, some who have violated their sacred trust and hate without cause and commit immoral acts, who wear the colors but do not display the character of Omega. Help us, God. We pray for those requests that have been proffered to us, Brother Lewis, who asked us to pray for all the brothers of Omega Psi Phi fraternity, and those prayer requests from Brother E.D. Hall for Betty Thomas, who was in recovery and rehab following her stroke. For Balen Hopkins, a teenager who is still recovering from a broken collarbone. And Tim Little, who is recovering from a fracture of his lower leg. And Rose Mitchell, a dialysis patient who has developed a stomach infection and is being treated right now in Wilson, North Carolina. God, touch her body now in the name of Jesus. Make her every whit whole. Cleanse her from that infection in the name of Jesus. We pray for your continued healing and recovery from surgery for Charlie Calder and Beverly Eaton and Brother DeAndre Clark and Brother Michael Jackson and Brother James Scrappy Jordan and Johnny Core. We pray, God, that you would touch them now. On this day, give them a special touch, a touch of healing, as only you can. We pray for those cancer patients who remain on our list of concerns, and the fact that they're still on the list means they have not transitioned. So, God, we thank you for their life and know that even now you're touching their body. Zoe Barnes and Darnella Gaskin Barnes and Betty Jean Lucas and Malia Spears. Thank you for little Malia Spears and Gladys Herndon. We pray, God, that you would heal and touch Sister Ava, the sister of Brother E.D. Hall. And we pray for our Grand Bachelors Ed Jordan and Ethel Cooper and Hattie Perry and all of their caregivers as they continue to lead the line in this aging process. We pray for Stephen Murphy and Virginia Jackson, who both have myopathy. And God has given to us so many brothers, and including Brother Kipling Wilson. We pray on this Christmas morning that you would keep those who are detained, members of our fraternity who are in juvenile detention centers and local jails and state prisons and federal prisons, including our good brother Bill Cosby. Be with him on this day. We pray that they will feel the uplift from the presence of God, even at Christmas, wherever they are. God, we pray for them now. And God, we thank you afresh that you have shown us, even on this day, that salvation comes in the vulnerability of a child and the viability of the shepherds. We thank you, God, for allowing us to serve in a world like this. Thank you for being the good news in this bad news situation. God, we give you praise, and we ask that you would simply answer our prayers, receive our praise, and do it all in the name that I've given you. You are the Negro from Nazareth. You are that dark-skinned Palestinian Jew. Thank you, God, for being a working man, a carpenter, and we thank you. We pray this prayer in your name, and all the brothers on the line, help me by saying, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Merry Christmas, brothers.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
brothers. Have a blessed day, brothers.
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir, Brother Gumby. Merry Christmas,
yes,
brother.
Yeah, man.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Brother Gumby.
Brother Gumby.
Blue
Merry
Tuesday.
Larry.
Long live Omega,
brother.
Blue Tuesday. Blue Tuesday. Blue Tuesday. Merry Christmas, Brother Fisher.
Blue.
Merry Christmas, Blue.
Merry Christmas,
Brother Gumby. I hear you, Gumby. Hey, Cam. Merry Christmas, bro.
Hey, Gumby.
Merry Christmas, Brother Kirkman.